We are continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. And as I've said tonight, it seems like about every series over the last 5 years, I don't know about you, comma, but this has truly been, has had a tremendous effect on me. And one of the greatest things it has done is it has caused me to look within myself and to let the Holy Ghost do that examination that we cried out for him to do last Wednesday. Amen? Yes. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just more aware of who I am and what's happening inside of me, especially in push-button situations. Y'all know what a push-button situation is, right? When your button gets pushed, and you know that's the thing where you go ziggity-boom. And right in the middle of a push-button situation, you can begin to hear the Holy Spirit. I know I'm nobody special, so I'm hearing them better in push-button situations.
Amen.
And I am so glad. I mean, right in the middle of it, it's crystal clear that I'm hearing direction of the Lord. Be quiet. Calm down. Your blood pressure's rising. Haven't said a word yet, thank God. Because he's doing it before. Remember, we talked about that. We talked about as you grow, you may fail and not even realize it come to you next week, the following week. And then as you grow more, you fail and it comes to you 2 days later. And you grow more, you fail and it comes to you a day later. And then you fail and it comes to you a few hours later. You know, and then you fail and it comes to you right after it happens. And then it begins to go on the other side. You're about to fail. It says, no. And then as healing takes place, and if it's an area that needs healing, because we haven't dealt in that yet, and Holy Ghost is going down in there, it's been allowed in those dark areas, then that air, that thing may not even bother you anymore. So that there's failure is not even an option per se. You follow me? Hey, I'm trying to get y'all to understand. You have in your lap a living word. Father God, help us understand it. That's what it's all been the last 2 weeks. And I left my notes at home on it last week, but this time I got it this week. Let's go to our foundation text, because he's selling it. You know, we read it every week, right? Mm-hmm. He's still saying you're still reading too fast. See, I don't care what we think we're doing. He's still saying you're reading too fast. Slow it down. Hebrews 4 and 12. Hebrews 4 and 12, our foundation text. Again, we're going over judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And this is where we're getting it from. It's our foundation text. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is, King James has quick. Mother, you got it? Am I going too fast? Okay, y'all got to hold a hand up so I can slow down. Because I get real excited and I go faster when I get excited. So let me know, Mother has it. Okay. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is, King James has quick, some says living, some others have alive. This word is zaon. Z-O-O-N. It comes from what we know of as zoe, right? Life. Inherent life, alive. It means alive. The tense, the Greek tense of this word indicates constantly active. Constantly active. Constantly active. The tenses. So hopefully that the word alive comes a little bit more alive in our spirit tonight. It's in constant action. Got me, Mr. Chris? Constant action. So they, it doesn't take a day off. It's like a motor constantly running, or you know, anything that's plugged in that has an energy source is constantly running. Well, the Word of God is constantly active. So you can use it at a moment's notice, call upon it as a moment's notice, quote it as a moment's notice. You have to work, wait for it to get plugged in, start warmed up, right? Computers got to boot up. You work with computers, I'm pretty sure. Same thing. Thing go out, light power go out, you got to plug it in, take 10 minutes for the warm back up. It's not constantly active. You listening to me. But the Word of God is. Don't have to reboot it. Plug it back up. Amen. Always in motion. At a moment's notice. You get that call, cousin, nephew, brother, sister. Y'all got all kind of, I get confused with what all we y'all praying for. But you know what I'm talking about. All them folks, you get one of them. Get that call. The Word of God is there. Lord is my shepherd. Boom. Active. Constantly active right there. Exercising the mind, comforting you, edifying you, building you up, because it is a living, constantly in motion entity. It's alive. You know why else it is alive? Slow down. You know why else it is alive? Because it comes from the living God. Mm-hmm. He's alive. He's eternal. So is His Word. Amen. Yes, yes. I still think we're reading too fast on Hebrews 4:12. The Lord said, go back over it again and dwell on the word, that the fact that my word is living. We've said it. We've said it and said it. But He said we still don't have it yet. So it is alive. It's our own. And it is constantly active. Still defining this word, okay? We're still defining alive. Constantly active. Having vital power in itself and exerting the same power with force upon the soul. I know that sounds academic, but we're gonna break all that down. Having vital power in itself. Let's just go to that part first. Having vital power in itself. This has power in the electricity. You pull the electricity out, this ain't gonna work. Excuse my aim, right? Amen. It doesn't have power in itself. Amen. The Word of God needs no power source, for it is in itself the power source. Amen. I know that's gonna do this for a minute, but you meditate that. They don't need to plug it in anywhere. Don't need any batteries, solar power. Is powered by the eternal Almighty God, because it is His Word. So it has power in itself. The power is inert in itself. Just like we talked about the sovereignty of God, He is a law unto Himself. Existence is within Himself, because from Him comes existence. Mm-hmm. If you caught that or not. Yes. The fact that anything exists is because something first existed that has existence within Himself. You follow me? The fact that anything has personality, comes from something that had personality within Himself. You have to understand that the easy way to show anyone that God exists is because anything exists. Archie Sproul telling somebody, how do you know God exists? He said, what you got in your hand? I got a pen. Because that pen exists, God exists. Because anything that exists, if God did not exist, nothing could exist. Amen. That's the lie that the evolutionaries tell you, that nothing times something equals everything. Think about that. How can you start with nothing and have everything? You take nothing and multiply it a million times, you still have nothing. Billy Preston even understood that one. No, he said something from nothing. He's leaving on my bad. Got my lyrics wrong. He said something from nothing leaves nothing, but nothing from nothing. Nothing plus nothing. Nothing times nothing leaves nothing. It was something And we know it was there was someone.
Amen.
So it's no surprise that the word of God has power in itself. And the rest of that definition says, and exerting, to exert means to like put pressure on and cause to happen by force. To cause to happen by force, exert. So he's saying that the power, I've lost my place here. All right, and exerting, or to cause to happen by force, the same power. What same power? The vital power. It causing that same power with force upon the soul. So God then, his word then by force is exerted upon the soul. And what did it result in one of the things that happened on the soul? Salvation. Yeah, thank you. Can you imagine a word working a miracle of that proportion because of the word and the power that's in that word? If you really believe that, do you realize that that's the word that you speak and pray, supposedly are praying and believing and meditating on every day? When you speak that word into somebody else's life, you're speaking that kind of power, a word that is a living word. Man, you know, it is criminal. If you will, what a blasphemous thing to do, to substitute the power of the word of God for your theories and your, well, honey, you know, this is what I would do. Well, in my opinion, man, nobody care about your opinion. It's not going to help that person. If you realize what you are not giving them when you can give them, now I'm talking about those who are able to give them the word, and you don't do it, shame on you, shame on me, shame on us. Because your opinion, theories, philosophies, ideas, and opinions are nothing when compared to the word of God. Now, if your opinion is Bible-based, but then it's not your opinion, you know what I'm saying? Amen, am I in the right place? Yeah, you quote the word. So let me go back. Yeah, that's nothing. Opinion, philosophy, theories, reasonings, nothing.
Amen.
When you are equipped to give them the word, shame on you, shame on me, shame on us. Give them the living word of God that has the power, vital power within itself, to exert that same power with force upon a soul. Y'all know what it's done for you.
Amen.
The power of the word of God caused mama to stop smoking after how many years, Papa?
Over 30 years.
And I think she smoked more than one pack a day, didn't she?
Oh yeah, almost two packs.
Per day. What kind of philosophy theory gonna cause that to happen, Miss Darlene? What kind? Mr. Chris back there shaking his head. You're right. What a shame. I'm talking about those who are equipped now. If you don't know, you don't know. You can't know what you don't know. I understand it. But those who are equipped, you give theories and philosophies, it's not going to have that kind of power. Nothing has that power. Okay, so hopefully living quick alive has a whole new level to it of understanding of how powerful that is. Let's look at a verse concerning that. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 63. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We get the privilege to study this word without the fear of soldiers and militia coming through the doors and killing us on the spot or taking us away, torturing us. Thank you, Lord God. the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verse 63, speaking about the living word of the living God. Are you with me?
Amen.
You got it, mother? It is, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. It has it within itself to give life. It is alive. And if something is alive, it has to have life. All right, listen to me. All right, so let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is living. It is alive. It is constantly active. It has vital power in itself. And it exerts that power on the soul by force. You mean, Mr. Arlene? It don't wait on you. If God sent the word to do it, brother, it's going to happen. Are you back to Hebrews chapter 4? Please, verse 12. For the word of God is alive. It is active. It is living. And now they chose the word active, but energeis is the Greek word for energace, energace, accent on the last syllable. That's the Greek word for, they have here, active. But that word, what word do you see in English that's out of that? Energy, yeah. It is alive and it has energy and it's energetic. So the word energeis means energizing. And I love this, as one commentator put it, it is energetically efficacious or effective. It is energetically efficacious, which means effective. It is energetically effective. Of course, we know that because the word of God is effective. It effects. It is energetically efficacious, which means effective. Then I have a semicolon next to that and put operative. It operates. When I say operative, meaning it's functioning, it works. It functions. It works. Energetically efficacious. Energetically effective. Operative. Functioning. Working. It's never broke. It's never not working. It's never not working properly. Well, it works sometime. It ain't working today. It's constantly active. It has power within itself. And it's effectively working. Help me to preach it in all situations.
Amen.
That's why Sister Valanda and I, going on 32 years of marriage, glory be to God, thank you, Lord Jesus, get so exercised when supposed Christians say, well, you know, we just grew apart, and so we're going to get a divorce. You just told me, a son of the living God, that the word of my living God does not work in your marriage. And that's a lie. You've chosen not to let the word of God operate because it functions. It is functional. It works. It's effective and it is full of power within itself and it's living. You've chosen not to use the word. And Sister Melanda and I hate with vitriol when you tell us, well, that's just y'all.
Oh, they told us, Miss Darlene.
That's y'all. You know, us, that ain't us. as if we're some sort of magical couple. As Kenneth Copeland used to say, are you kidding me? That's garbage. That's a cop-out. That's all it is. You don't want to do what the Word of God says. You want your flesh, which we just read, for the flesh profiteth nothing. Just like that divorce you about to get is going to profit nothing. You think you're getting what you want, but you got sin is crouching at the door. So, but you must master it, right? Or else it's going to master you. And when folks who are the living Word of God, who are children of God, they ignore the Word of God, sin is going to master them. Because the Word is all they have to master sin. The Word and obedience to it. So it is alive. It is energized. It is energetically effective. And it's functioning. And it's working. I love that. Mr. Chris, you work with machines all day. You work buffers and this and that. When something ain't working right, it throws your whole thing down. Am I right, sir? Thank God the Word is not like that. Word ain't working today, man. You're waiting on somebody to come get it. You're on your own today because you might be cussing, slapping, committing adultery, fornication, everything today because the Word ain't working today. It just ain't functioning, it ain't working, it's broke down, and we need somebody to come fix this thing. And the guys you're trying to get over here, they busy doing some other, working on other people, and you just last in line. Like our boy, we done got all kinds, trying to get all kinds of people over here. Man stuff versus God stuff. You can use those as actual examples. We trying to get all kinds of people over here. Folk busy, they can't make it, they don't know, I don't work with that. The Word of God supersedes all of that. It's always working. It's always operative. It's always effective. It's always functioning. Hallelujah. Don't get tired. Doesn't die. It's always alive. It's always in operation. Lord God, help us to realize what we have in our laps or on our phones or tablets. Your living and abiding Word that we have the privilege to even understand and partake of this bread of life. Help us to treasure this in the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, saints. Let's join the fray. Amen.
Amen.
So it is alive. It's efficacious. It's effective. So the Word of God, first of all, it is alive and it's energized. And it's effective, meaning that it's going to accomplish what it is that God wants it to accomplish. Wow, that sounds like a verse. Isaiah 55. Let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Glory be to God. I feel like running, but I got to stay here. Unless April can come up and finish the sermon.
You must stay.
And she said, you must stay. And she had a little funky look on her face too, so she wasn't playing. You better say what it really was saying. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. We got it? Isaiah 55, verse 11. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. So will what? My word that goes from my mouth. Doesn't that sound like the Bible? Because the Bible is the Word of God that comes from Him. Remember we talked about 6:13, I believe. That the every scripture is God breathed, every single scripture, because it comes from the inners of God, it comes from my mouth. So shall it be. Look, it will not return to me void, empty, without accomplishing what I desire, I'm reading New American Standard, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. It's going to be effective where I tell it to go.
Amen.
I'm going to read that again. Glory be to God. He says, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. Now, just a caution and warning here. This is a pastoral duty warning, because as a, this is a duty that I must perform as your pastor, which means overseer, shepherd, and an elder, one who has wisdom, fulfilling those three roles. Now, what the charismatics have done, especially those in the prosperity gospel, they've taken this verse out of context. And they've applied it to us as regular people. But the first line in that verse says, so shall my word be to go forth out of my mouth. It's not out of your mouth. What they've done, they transferred that power to us as well. That's not what he says. Your word is not going to accomplish what you wanted like God's word. That's out of context. In context, this is God, for God, talking about God. What God can do, not us.
Amen.
We were taught that. You know what it said now, so you where we go by your mouth, you know. Accomplish what is, no, you can accomplish. Because we want Jags and Benz and houses and match. So we like, okay, you just go with it. You don't want holiness. Nobody praying for that. Anybody praying for Lord, send me some trouble so I can be more like you. Give me the fire of Job so I can be. No. Nobody thinking nothing like that. As a matter of fact, they're going to put a curse on you and put a you foul demon running. They're going to run all kind of holy oil on you, get the devil out of you because you're talking crazy. Yeah, that's all in scripture. No, this is God, only God. So shall my word be that goes without of my mouth. This is God talking, not no human being. Because a human being can't do the rest of this. It will not return to me empty. All our words are going to return empty every single time. And if it doesn't return empty, it's because God did something to make it come to pass, not you. It will not return to me empty, void, without accomplishing that what I desire. Who? What I, God, desire. Not you. Not me. Not us. And without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Look at it. Look at your definition. Don't turn back. But look at your definition you just went over. The word of God is active, energetically effective. There you are. It's going to do what God has sent it to do. And it's going to succeed in the matter for which God sent it.
Amen.
Let's look at an example of that. That God's sending his word for some reason. And let's see if that's effective. Let's find that in the word. Look at Psalm, the 107th stanza, verse 20. Psalm 107, 20. 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. You hear me, mother? Okay. It will not return him void without accomplishing what God desires and without succeeding in the matter for which the Lord God sent it. Here's one here. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and what? Healed them. There you go. He sent it and it was efficacious. It was effective. What was it sent to do?
Healed.
All right. You read it right in the word. He sent it, and the reason he sent it was to heal. Did it not? He sent his word and he healed. Past tense them. Word, go heal him. The word healed. It's going to succeed in the matter which he sent it, and it's going to accomplish what God desired. What did God want it to desire? Healing. Look at John 15, the Gospel of John, New Testament, chapter 15, verse 3. John chapter 15, verse 3. It will accomplish what God wants. John chapter 15, verse 3. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, 3rd verse. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. What was the word? What was the word sent to accomplish? Cleansing. And did it not succeed in the matter for which it was sent? Yes. He said, you are now clean. What? Because of the word which I have spoken. Do you see that? He sent the word, it accomplished the healing. Here was accomplished cleansing. Look at one more. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Glad to be saved. And able to rejoice over his word. Amen?
Amen.
All that is the grace of God.
Absolutely.
James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the King James have engrafted, which means implanted word, which is able to what? Save your souls. See, that's what it is supposed to accomplish. And did it not succeed into where it was sent? Our yes. lives. Aren't we not saved?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus is right. And a living word does that. A living word causes the blind to see. The living word heals. The living word cleanses. The living word saves people from their sin. It is alive, constantly in operation, and energetically effective, functioning, working. I'm thinking about all the testimonies, coming flood of testimonies from almost every single one in there, just right off the bat. You've been mentioned many times about Glenda Jean. There's no way that she makes it back from that apart from the word of God. Am I right, Glenda Jean? There's no way. No way. There's no way. JR should have been dead in the streets, or he should have killed several in the streets. The Lord kept him from both. There's no way that he's standing back there apart from the word of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God.
Amen.
Am I in the right place?
Amen.
Help us, Lord God, to realize what we got in our lives. Give it the glory and the honor and the position it ought to have in our life. First place, preeminence. Let's go back, please, to Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12 again. I put extra time on the clock. We still only got 7 minutes left.
Wow.
But you know what? It's got to be done. And I'm thankful. I hope you're grateful. Because I want to treasure this. I want to treasure it. I thought, I want to be like Jeremiah. I found your word, oh wow. Now ate it. And it was a joy and a rejoice in my heart. My mother told anybody who listened, I found what I've been looking for. She went down into a basement on Henry Street in Inkster. There a man was teaching the word in his basement. She said, I found it. You talking about a black Renaissance woman dressed to the nines. Like she came out of Hollywood. They because the other folks in there, they were just regular folks. She was too, but you know what I'm saying. They didn't dress like her. She, you know, Jacobson was a big thing back in the day. And in the 50s, man, it was a ooh la la. She dressed up. They look at her like, wow, Hollywood has visited us. And she like, she couldn't care less. And said, you can give me your clothes, I'll give you these. Because I found what I've been looking for. Because she had the Southern gentleman husband. She had children. She had two boys. She had her degree. She had it all. But she had nothing. Remember Apostle Paul said, I had it all. Same kind of testimony. But it was nothing. I cut it all but dung. Manure. Strong language. Some have a softer version, rubbish. Right. Those are softer versions. Yeah, we showed her y'all her degree on Sunday and this and that, but she tell y'all that that's cute at best, but not really.
Amen.
Sister Rolanda put together the trivia. Down at the bottom says, what is the most vital, I don't know, I'm paraphrasing, juiciest relationship? And everybody at one said, with God. Right in the crowd knew who that was.
Yes,
right here. This is the power. This is why we're saved. This is why we're healed. This is why our mind is right. That's why we've made it through terrible, terrible times. Without this, we're nothing. And this is why this is under so much attack in the churches. So this is what the devil has no answer for right here. Right here. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, quoted the word to Satan, to me, that is the telltale right there. That's the end all to everything. He's heavy under battle. Physically weak from 40 days of no food and 40 nights of no food. Great time for Satan to attack him. And he attacked him. He spoke the word. And not only did he speak the word, he obeyed the word. See, that's the problem. Some of us are speaking the word, but we're not obeying the word. Oh, I just, amen. Stay focused. I don't care what you're saying. You can quote all verses all day long. Jesus wasn't just quoting. We tend to miss that. He wasn't just quoting verses. He was quoting verses that match his obedience. I'm not going to do this because the word of God says that. You just catch that. I'm not going to eat this or I'm not going to turn this because it said don't do that. It's not just quoting verses apart from obedience. It's quoting verses in conjunction with obedience. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. Back to our foundation text. For the word of God is living, alive, constantly active. And it is energized. King James says powerful. Energized. Energetically effective. And sharper. The word sharper comes from the word to cut. To cut. The commentator Vincent says that the word of God has an insightful and penetrating quality. It lays bare self-delusions and moral fraudulences. If you're self-deceived and your morality is a fraud, the word of God is going to slice it open and expose it. It will fillet you. Open you right up. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
Can't hide nothing from that. Well, once that fish is open up like this, wide open like that, ain't nothing here, nothing. That's what the word of God does. Sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing or penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the immortal part of us, of both the joints and the marrow, that's the deepest part of our nature, and able to judge and expose and sift and analyze and determine what is good and bad, every single one of our thoughts. That which we ponder, that which we think out, that which we reflect, the thoughts, the hidden thoughts of the heart, which only God can discern. It even gets down in there. That's some deep penetration. And intentions, conceptions, and that which we conceive of the heart. Word of God lays it all open. So the deep, dark, cavernous life that is us is going to be exposed. And thank God. I use my baby, you know, she had to get some things out, you know, first year one of marriage. And when she was convinced, because she just kept saying, oh, that shouldn't bother me. But when she was convinced that your past does affect who you are now, great testimony. The Lord moved on her, and she, you really think so? And we sat down, and she cried for the next hour, telling me about this and that and the other. Had a big old wet spot of tears on my, I had a white t-shirt on from work. And I tell you, talking about penetrating, and I told you that was on a Friday night. Excuse me for knowing all the dates and everything, but she's that important to me. That was on a Friday night. The following Tuesday, late morning, early afternoon, she's on the phone with her sister. And then when she let out that laugh, she let out a laugh that I'd never heard before. It was loud, it was free, it was clear, and it was deep from within. It released that, it healed an area in her. I'm telling you, this series is going to cause self even more.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I've seen it work. It's powerful, but you got to admit, you got to face your weaknesses. That's why we opened up with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. I will glory in my weaknesses. I'm going to embrace them, not hide from them. They got them full on. Why? So I can be strong in other areas. And the power of Christ do what he do. And you know what's going to happen? You better help somebody else. Are there other people struggling with your struggles? With your same exact struggles. Am I right, Mr. Ali? You know there's somebody else in the world struggling with what you're struggling with.
Amen.
How can God send them to you if you won't even face yours? So how can you help them? Right? What did he tell Peter? When you've been strengthened, convert your brother, that is. Yeah. Once you've been strengthened, in order to be strengthened, you got to realize there's a weakness. And what does strengthen imply? That there's a weakness there that needs to be strengthened. Hello? It's prideful to hide your weaknesses. That's nothing but pride. I know all of us. I remember. I'm preaching. God preaching to us. I attend church just like you. I just take my seat up here. I'm hearing just like everybody. I'm not saying okay, y'all need to do this. No, us. Thank you, Lord. It's right. Face your weaknesses head on. Those that you know about. This is going to expose some things we don't even know about. We are a mystery unto ourselves. We really are. Father God, we bow down to you right now. We submit our lives to you right now. Every deep, dark room, every cavernous area in our lives, we ask you to shine the light of healing power upon it. Let your word penetrate deep into those areas, causing healing where healing is needed. Strength where strengthening is needed. We submit our lives completely to you. Shine your light, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.